Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye Live with The Fedge.
If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. Absolutely. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this, put that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware.
All right, everybody. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, October the 26th, 2019, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you're listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. Another warm fall day here in Riyadh with highs hitting a brief 96 degrees, but that actually retreated pretty quickly. And we backed off those highs quite a bit now. We're sitting at about 90 degrees, which is kind of tolerable. And it's just after 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Now winds are a moderate 9 miles per hour coming out of the south southwest, which is actually somewhat of an odd direction for these parts. As evening settles in, we should see temperatures dipping down into the 70s somewhere in the 10 o'clock hour, and then an overnight low getting down to get this, everybody, into the 60s. We're going to hit 69 degrees. So that means that evenings here are really no longer air conditioning weather, as the evenings are becoming indeed quite nice, if we could say that. Besides being comfortable, they're nice and all that kind of cool stuff. This past week, last week, of course, if you weren't listening to Thursday's show, I was obviously not available last week. We had Frederick Blackburn from Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club and Woody fill in last Saturday. They did a fantastic job. I've got a lot of nice comments from you, the listener, regarding that, either from phone calls, emails, whatever the case may be. So thanks and a big shout out to those two for coming in, filling in for 3 hours on really what was a short notice. I was actually in Italy on a whirlwind tour, visited three main cities there, Milan, city in the north, can't quite give this away. I can give away Pesaro, though, on the eastern coast on the Adriatic Sea. Had really a nice time. All our objectives as far as the business goes was fairly well accomplished, so that made for a nice week. I got a couple days R&R up in the, like, the just outside of Milan. There's a little mountain range outside of northeast of Milan. And so I got the nice, a nice hotel, 5-star hotel up over looking a lake with lots of nice breezes and good wine. And what was really cool was my hosts were Saudis, and they said, Dennis, you're not in Saudi anymore, so feel free to drink. Don't worry about us. You know what I mean? So I had a great time. I had bacon for breakfast pretty much every day when it was available. Lots of beer, lots of wine. Not so much to where I was too knackered, as they say, but I did have even some cognac one night. We had a great meeting, so I went and celebrated, had some cognac, and had probably too much cognac to drink, but it was really quite a nice trip, to say the least. I'm back in Riyadh, arrived Wednesday night, of course did the show Thursday, and then here I am back again for Saturday, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Chat room, it's kind of quiet right now. It's definitely quiet. So if you'd like to join us there, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. And, of course, telephone lines, as always, are open. At least we try to keep them open. It's 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. You know, some interesting stuff coming out of California. California is kind of like a trendsetter out there. And the trend nowadays seems to be whenever Mother Nature decides to sneeze, they're going to shut down the power for Americans. That seems to be what's happening, because you just had a meeting at what's called the CPUC, which is the California Public Utilities Commission. And that is the state regulator that monitors and regulates all the different utilities inside of California. That's not to say, I think CPUC may actually do telecommunications also. I think they got a unit inside that. I forget now. But nonetheless, yesterday, they had a meeting. And, of course, what's been on everybody's mind is the biggest utility in the United States, which is called Pacific Gas and Electric. Every time Mother Nature decides to sneeze now, what they're doing is they are shutting down the power. Now, a couple weeks ago, if you recall, they shut down the power to some 2 to 2.5 million people just because of some windstorms. Now, you know, here on Inside the Eye Live, you guys know I'm from L.A., Los Angeles. Fires, brush fires, forest fires, but really brush fires, are long. It's just a long part of California. You can't escape it. It's just part of the geography. The brush underneath on the hillsides, it gets dry. It's just the type of brush it is. And so when September, October comes around and we get all of these, what we call the Santa Anta wind conditions, which is brought about by that high pressure system over Utah, something like that, Utah. And then it kind of squeezes itself down through the mountain passes. And what you end up with is an absolute phenomenal amount of wind. And it's very dry, hot and dry. And so you have these fires, and we've been covering fires from time to time around this time of year, just to kind of keep things going as far as the routes to California. But we've never seen a situation where a utility, I just can't imagine a utility back when I was there, shutting down the power every time Mother Nature decides to sneeze. And you had Mr. Bill Johnson, he's the CEO of Pacific Gas and Electric. He said of the shutoff a couple of weeks ago, he says, hey, it was all for public safety. And I'm like, the nanny state here. It's like, dude, it's not your job to protect the people and the safety here. It's your job to engineer a network that is robust, can withstand the average and expected weather conditions of your region. And we don't need you running for cover every time Mother Nature decides to sneeze, because in this part of the world, Mother Nature does sneeze quite a bit, especially this time of year. So PG&E, again, Pacific Gas and Electric, they had a problem just yesterday. They claim that perhaps another, they actually shut down the customers, you know, shut down power to the customers. They did not shut down their long distance power transmission line. They had apparently something failed on it and started a fire. And that fire may turn out to be quite a big thing, because winds are expected to pick up in California today. So essentially, Pacific Gas and Electric is, again, it's the largest utility, electrical utility in California. Every time Mother Nature decides to sneeze, PG&E now has decided that the best course of action is to cut power to literally half of the territorial geography of California. Now, CPUC President Maribel Batier says things need to be fixed now. But how do you fix something that you privatized, you gave over to a private set of investors? They have not invested into their infrastructure. They've been basically reaping the profits and not investing. They are no longer able to maintain service under normal weather conditions. And again, that's normal weather conditions. And the guy's up there and he's sitting there talking about how the problem is climate change. Our problem is climate change. And he's like the CEO of a company. So we're really in a situation in America now where our CEOs have intellectually deteriorated to that of an idiot. I mean, come on, dude. We had engineered 35 years ago, and you're probably working off of the 35-year-ago engineering, a network or infrastructure that didn't fail every time Mother Nature sneezed. We managed 35 years ago to engineer a telecommunications grid that worked off of what we called five nines. And five nines is what? 99.999% reliability. That was the public switch telephone network of 35 years ago. So essentially now that we've got this new culture, this culture of diversity, this culture of multiculturalism, it's okay to essentially degrade your network, rob the infrastructure of any capital investment, destroy towns because you haven't engineered your facility, your infrastructure, to just operate under normal weather conditions in California, which is something we would have done 35 years ago. So now we've got, again, this guy's blaming on climate change, but now we've got another wildfire. It's up in the northern part, Sonoma County. And Governor Gavin Newsom, who's not really the brightest guy either, he said, we're going to hold them account to account. That would be PG&E. And really, you're looking at years and years and years and years of mismanagement, years and years and years of promoting diversity, years and years and years of relying on substandard engineering skills because, again, you are going to promote diversity. Now, that will never get into the mainstream narrative here. It's not just that PG&E has failed to invest in its infrastructure, but even its newer infrastructure, including that which caused this recent fire, was not properly engineered. It was not up to the technical standards to survive normal weather conditions in California. Consequently, every time now there's a breeze inside of California, PG&E is going to be shutting down. So you're looking at some 10 years now of the largest utility in the nation shutting down power to all of its customers because they're too busy selling diversity and not engineering their product to actually meet the weather conditions within which it operates. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. Now, CEO Bill Johnson said it was too soon to say whether the faulty equipment sparked the fire. It's like, dude, we need to study diversity. We need to study what you are doing. And actually, in many cases, I think PG&E is already in receivership. It's technically bankrupt. And today its stock, or yesterday its stock, tumbled another 31%. Perhaps PG&E should be taken back over by the people. Why are we allowing such an important infrastructure within the state of California to be managed by essentially private profiteers who don't have the intelligence, the wherewithal, the guts, the brains to actually manage a utility that can maintain its capacity in normal California weather conditions? He says, he was saying here that this blaze, he says, it could mean wider blackouts ahead. So basically, can you imagine? You're living in a state now, the largest state in the nation, what is said to be the sixth largest economy in the world, and these guys don't have the wherewithal to simply put together an electrical network that does not fail. He says, well, if our high voltage transmission lines are at risk, we've got to shut those down too. So not only is PG&E now talking about harming the end user, those at the street, the last mile, but they are talking about taking out basically long haul transmission lines that could even affect going, let's say, into, who knows? I don't know the agreements between
these utility companies, but I can imagine this going into parts of Nevada, up inside of Oregon, down to Southern California, et cetera. So again, we have a serious problem with management in America. We have poor engineering skills for all the talk about innovation, and America still has some of the most innovative people there. When it comes to managing legacy infrastructure that was designed and implemented by a European America, quite frankly, we do not have the ability of diversity to maintain those standards. That is the message coming out of the PG&E saga. And it's really, when you look at it, it's no different than what you see going on in, let's say, South Africa, where the electrical utility there is barely functioning anymore. And most people now are having to buy generators just to maintain power within their houses. And what's interesting about this is that when you look at companies like PG&E, you look at companies like, let's say, let's just call it just outside, but you're going to look at companies like the pharmaceutical companies, et cetera. These are the biggest companies we have in the nation. They pay the highest salaries, and they are some of the biggest welfare whores, corporate welfare whores going in the United States. They can't survive without getting legislation that protects them. You know, they want to create legislation that makes it illegal for you to harvest your own energy. It's in some states in America, it's so insane that you sit there and you produce your own electricity through the sun on your own property, and the governments of those areas want to tax you for producing your own energy on your own property. They want to create laws that prevent you from being self-sufficient, from escaping from the grid, from relying less and less and less upon the grid. So at one point, they want to prevent you from being self-sufficient. And here we see a situation now as diversity really starts to take hold in America. We have the largest electrical company, Pacific Gas and Electric. They can't even serve their customers. And we are talking now, if they start implementing this, you're going to look at perhaps 1 month worth of blackouts every year. Because if you have high levels of Santa Ana's from time to time, when you look at, well, gee, Mother Nature's sneezing again, we got to shut down the power. Ooh, you know, you're probably going to be looking at 15 to 20, 30 days a year. That's 1/12 of the year where you've got a utility company, the largest in the world, a company absolutely dedicated to diversity in the workforce, and they can't even engineer the darn thing to stay up. So these are some of the issues we look at as diversity starts to take hold. Now, they're starting to get repeated there. Okay, now what's going to happen? We're going to have to go buy generators? You're going to tax people to buy that generator. You're going to tax people for the diesel to run those generators. What are you going to do? Fine them for not putting themselves back on the grid as soon as the grid comes up? I wouldn't doubt that. You know, after all, we got to make sure PG&E, which is a complete failure, diversity nutcase house or nut house, you got to make sure, I guess, they have their money to operate, right? Experts are saying it's impossible. Of course, experts nowadays are probably, again, more diversity-driven drivel. And it says it's impossible to know how much the blackouts contributed to, like, less fires. Okay, they can't measure what they're doing, in other words. So they just do actions. They create actions. They can't measure it. But then when you go look at PG&E, the website, and you're saying, hey, what is PG&E nowadays? And it's not an engineering company. It doesn't engineer its network to actually survive. It is like everything else in the world. It's dedicated to mediocrity. Mediocrity we can really define as diversity and multiculturalism. Diversity is not about excellence. Diversity is about allowing even less competent people into the arena so they can partake of the environment that was previously engineered on excellence. You cannot raise up, for the most part, a house built on diversity. It's not really that feasible. So at PG&E, they claim, we strive, this is from their website, we strive to provide an environment where our employees are enriched by being here. Well, that's nice. Wow, just show up, guys, and you can get enriched and able to do their very best work. Well, guess what? Your very best work isn't necessarily mean it's excellent. Your very best work just means that it's your very best work. The work of somebody of, let's say, a mental capacity of 85 IQ isn't going to be the very best work of an engineering student with 135 IQ. But hey, it doesn't matter at PG&E. It doesn't matter in this new leftist, diversity-minded civilization that they are currently social engineering to create. Just come up. You'll be enriched and you can do your best. That's great. They continue, we do this by creating an inclusive culture and diverse workforce. Well, guess what? An inclusive culture means that basically you tolerate incompetence. Inclusiveness simply means that you are going to tolerate that which is incompetent or less than excellent. That's inclusiveness. And when they talk about a diverse workforce, well, who needs it? You need a professional workforce. You should not be focused on inclusiveness and diversity. You're a public utility. You're a safety issue for the people of California. And this extends all the way to Boeing and all these other major corporations equally. You have to have a committed, superb workforce that is dedicated to excellence and zero tolerance failure. You're a utility. Hey, hello. But you know, you get these diversity minded people in the HR department. The idea of zero tolerant failure isn't in their brain because their brain is starting from massive failures in logic to begin with. They're not going to have the capacity intellectually to put a network of employees together that is actually committed to zero fault tolerances. And that's what a public utility commission or a public utility should be built around. They go on to say here, one that reflects the diversity of our customers. Well, we already know that 60-70% of Americans, God bless them, so to speak. And it doesn't, again, we should be providing for the less fortunate within our society, but not everybody's the same level. So, okay, if you're bringing in the worst of the worst, but they're still good people, I don't have a problem with that. But do you want to design a public utility around that? Do you want to actually build your engineering around this type of level of intellectual teamwork here? Said this commitment to diversity and inclusion is a critical part of our values and how we endeavor to approach each person every day. In other words, it has nothing to do. PG&E has nothing to do anymore with engineering excellence at providing service to the people out there of actually making things work properly so that when the breezes pick up a little bit in California, like they usually do, you're still going to be able to stay up and functioning. You know, your diverse supplier chain doesn't have necessarily this idea of a commitment to excellence of zero fault failures. They'll cut corners a little bit because, hey, they got to try to make money. And once you start cutting corners on the engineering at the most critical elements of your infrastructure, well, guess what? The quality of an infrastructure, no matter where you look, is equal to the strength of its weakest element. So no matter how weak, how strong everything is around you, if that weakest element is weak or that strongest element is weak, well, that's going to make the entire thing fail. And quite frankly, this extends out to people equally, families, businesses. You know, the strength of your company is going to be dedicated literally to the weakest link inside of your chain. And if you are bringing in diversity, guess what? You've got a huge problem. It's the Fetch, everybody. That's first half hour, opening half hour. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's Saturday, October the 26th, 2019. Good Saturday morning to everybody out there. I hope you're having a good Saturday anyways. I don't know what you're doing. I had
Today I got up kind of a bit early, had a nice breakfast. I had a fried potato and fried egg breakfast. It was kind of nice. Sauteed in butter. That's one of my favorite things to do. So it was kind of delicious, everybody. Enjoyed it very much. Thank you very much. I didn't eat it, of course, until about 1 o'clock this afternoon because I went to bed early yesterday. That's right. I had such a busy week in Italy. I think I traveled something like 40 hours in a week. Just the travel time, taking cars, going from here to there, getting in and out of hotels and in and out of airports. It was really kind of a, not stressful. I can't call it that. It was quite a nice trip, but it was kind of cool. You know, I found Italy. I if you caught Thursday's show, you probably heard this story already, but I'm going to do it again for the Saturday audience here. You know, I went in and one of the first things I noticed once I got to a hotel, which was about 5:20. I forget what time I got to the hotel. What time did I get to the hotel? Like 5:20 in the afternoon, something like that. And then I had to go out and do things, got back at about 11 or 12. I forget. It was so hectic. But nonetheless, what I noticed was Salvini, the former interior minister of Italy, was basically everywhere on the news. He was literally everywhere. And I had talked to some girl. We went out. I got a little bit drunk, a little bit, not too bad. And I went and talked to this one girl. She was in a restaurant like I was. I was just trying to eat my drinking off, right? Kind of get some starch in me. And talked to this gal there, and she was actually Jewish. She did her nose, got her nose job done. She's like holding my hand. See, touch here, see, that's where they did it. They kind of took the nose out, I guess. Not the hook, they took the bulge at the top of the nose off. And so she was saying, you know, we were talking about how it's not right for Italy to be overrun by migrants, but I don't really see it too much in northern Italy. It wasn't so prevalent in the north. And, you know, we talked about Salvini and things of that nature. And she was saying that at first she tried to go against me, you know, as far as my views on immigration, et cetera. And then she kind of backed off of that. And then she said, well, then she tried to take the other side. Salvini's not enough. We need something even more drastic than Salvini. And our people, they lack the passion. They lack the political passion to fight. They've been dumbed down too much. Some of the things we might hear right here on this show, right? So it was an interesting morning, early morning, because I went to the restaurant quite late. But it was very interesting speaking to somebody there about the politics there and Salvini. And he was going to be holding at that point in time a huge 100,000 plus rally in Rome. That did go off pretty much without a hitch. And he is still everywhere from what I understand. And now I understand that you've got these mafias down, like run by the mafia, which I'm told by certain people that the upper two-thirds of Italy is pretty much Italian. There's not a whole lot of Jewish people up in the northern part of Italy, but in the southern part of Italy, that's where you find the largest percentage of your Jewish population there. And that is, of course, also where you will find the mafias. And these mafias, apparently, I'm not fully up on this story yet, but apparently they are running a what is essentially slave labor of Sikh refugees. Sikhs are, of course, from, I guess, Pakistan area, something like that, maybe northern India and Pakistan. So they're running like slave labor camps. So I'm like, as soon as I heard slave labor, I'm like, oh, it's probably Jewish people running this mafia then. And apparently the Sikhs are starting to fight back. So you may start to see a little bit of that information leaching out into the news cycle, depending on the level of violence that ensues when the Sikhs begin to fight back against what is essentially slave labor at the hand of these mafia organizations in the south of Italy, which again is where you will find the vast majority of your Jewish population within Italy. So it may all be going hand in hand. Something for someone to investigate. We're just kind of throwing that out there. It is listener sponsored and supported radio. Again, still moving. We're still doing. Quite frankly, they've done a good job to get the studio back up and running. I'm actually able to function properly here on the studio network. So everything is working fine, as I can see from the backside. I still got the things that Nighthawk gave me, years ago. You know, I still got that stuff. I don't know if these guys don't change it, guys, because I need this to run the show, because I self-produce, as you guys know. So anyways, I need it. You know, so when I still got it, it's still working. It's like, cool, guys, everything's working as Nighthawk had originally engineered the darn thing. So good job getting everything back up and running. But that does take money, guys. Again, even here, we need, you know, we had like a big problem. Not a big problem, but, you know, with all these moving and stuff like that, things you need maintenance. You know what I mean? And just to let you know how a little bit helps, just a little bit helps. I came back Wednesday and I guess I put something heavy on my headphones and they were completely broken. I couldn't use them. So I had to go out and buy some new headphones. Headphones alone, not much, guys. I buy good, better quality, not super good quality, of course. But, you know, it's still $20. You can't get around the $20. So that's what we were saying. Every little bit helps. You know, that goes into the kitty. We're able to withdraw what we can when we need it into our bank accounts. And that lets us work efficiently and comfortably. So everybody needs a little bit of cash. We don't have the mega donors of yesteryear. Of course, we've never had that inside of the alternative media per se. So do what you can. Support Inside the Alive. At least through the end of the year. Support, obviously, the studio the best you can here. And everything that you do, even if it's a small bit, is very, very, very appreciated. Of course, this show does have a couple commercial sponsors. That is one of those is the Cat Report. It's brought to you by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures great and small, and by Blackburn Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackburn. And you can catch his show every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on the Spreaker Radio Network. It's also simulcasting over at Eurofolk Radio, as is this show. So you can check it out through those two venues, or you can go to blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org if you want to actually pick up from Frederick's website directly. Now, guys, last week, I just want to say I didn't hear a Cat Report. I was listening. I actually listened three times. I liked the show last week. So I was listening just because I was in a hotel room. I thought, okay, this is cool. So I listened. Good show. And but no Cat Report. I did not hear a Cat Report, guys. I was like, hey, wait, where's the Cat Report? But we have one this week. So it's back. And not much to report. Really, not much. You know, the cats around my hotel have all disappeared. We used to have a lot of cool cats around here. They've been disappeared. The owner of the building basically has given instructions to his staff to kick all the cats away. So everything is basically denuded of anything that would be nice to a cat, like some water or some extra food tidbits out there. Everything is gone. So we don't have any cats here anymore. Back home, Pressy, our cute white Turkish Angora cat, she's doing exceptionally well. She's got 5 kittens. They're already starting to get big, as kittens often do. They're still crawling on their tummies. They're not really walking yet. They're still just a week and a half old, but they're starting to at least move around on their tummies a little bit. They're very healthy. We got 2 white cats, 2 black with white kind of interspersed, and then one that has the same orange and white texture as Spikers. So again, we had 6, we lost 1, we got 5 left, and they're doing very, very well. Only problem with the cats is that they refuse to use the outdoors for the bathroom, so we're having to spend a lot of money on cat litter. Kind of expensive there. I don't know why. I'm going to have to go find a wholesale place. It's just kind of expensive. And then they only eat the highest grade of chicken liver. They don't want fish. They don't want anything but the highest grade chicken liver. And I don't ask me why. When I go back, and I hope to be back first of the year for a couple weeks of R&R, I'll find out why, but I don't know. But everything is going great. And then we've adopted 2 more cats, not inside the house, but at our business there. We got a small little salon that we started. It's kind of doing okay. We're not making money, guys, but it's at least we have customers. That's a good thing. And give it time, we think we're going to do fine. But we've adopted two cats, one little kitten, kind of baby kitten, maybe 5-7 weeks old, and then the mother cat. So Emily's feeding cats there. So guys, we're always good to the cats, and the cat gods typically smile down on us. And since the cat god is, I think, Isis herself, it's not a bad thing. Not the abomination that Jews have created, folks. It's that which became quite other revered symbols of the sacred feminine, including the Virgin Mary. So guys, we're part of that LinkedIn crowd. Don't think we're so crazy out there. That's the ITelCat Report again, proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. And where did that go? That didn't work so good. I'll tell you, I need a better, you know what I need to do, guys? I need to get one of those, probably those little like 15 channel, push the buttons and the next thing goes type of trick. They got these kind of cool things for podcasting out there. It probably would be a good idea. It is time for the ITEL, the Oy Vey moment, again, brought to you by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show.
Oy Vey. Oy Gewalt. It's like another show.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody.
Oy Vey. How is it run by Jews? It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on William Pierce.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody.
Oy Vey.
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Andy himself at andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Get your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media. And this week's Oy Vey Moment, we're going to go, first of all, out to where we want to go here. Let's go to Illinois. I think we'll go to Illinois. And what it is we're looking at a situation. This just happened yesterday, and it's at the University of Illinois. And we had a situation where hundreds of Jewish students. Why are hundreds of Jewish students on that campus? They shouldn't even be allowed to be there. But they walked out in protest as the University of Illinois Student Senate passed a resolution denying link between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. Now that's the headline. Hundreds of Jewish students walk out in protest as University of Illinois student passes, actually, Illinois Student Senate passes resolution denying link between anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism. Well, first of all, we should tell those Jews, get the hell off campus. Seriously, get the hell off campus. This is our country. We do not need Jews to tell us how to use our language. If you're not happy with our country, get the hell out and go back to Israel. Because we're sick, a lot of us for sure, are sick of Chabad and Hillel and the bought and paid for congressional members telling us what we can and can't say within our own countries. Seriously, it's become a huge issue. It's become so prevalent that you think it's okay to walk out because, listen, Israel, guys, is a shit. It's a shitty little country. It's filled with sadists, pedophiles. The scum of the earth, essentially, is what is housed inside of Israel. Yeah. Oh, you got your good Jews, Fetch. Yeah, they're there. Sorry. We know that. But I don't care.
They are a strategic nightmare for the United States. They're an enemy of the United States. They are the ones behind 9/11. They were behind the USS Liberty. They are behind all of these laws that are essentially, I'm talking about Jews in their diaspora. I regard the Jewish diaspora as agents of the state of Israel. And if you're going to walk out of a resolution that tries to cut the links of a Tel Aviv State Department, I don't know what they call it, foreign ministry probably over there. But if you're trying to break the link, as Jews in Israel are trying to do this, is, well, if you criticize our shitty little country, you're an anti-Semite. Well, who cares, man? What the hell's a Semite anyways? What is it? A Jew? What is it? What is a Semite? Is that a Jew? What's wrong with us criticizing Israel? You're a shitty little country that continually attacks us, our freedoms, our way of life. And then you ask for money like a beggar every freaking year. And yet you don't want to be criticized. You want to get your hands in our pockets and, oh, you little whining little crybabies, you don't want us to criticize you. Well, you know what? Get your freaking hands out of our pockets. Get your hands out of our political system. Get out of our universities. Then when you completely divorce yourself from us, then you can sit there and talk about us and what we say and do from your own perspective. But as long as you're dependent upon us, shut your mouths, man. Just shut up for a while. Really, that's where it has to go. Tell the, just mock these folks. Go, 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 cry, baby. Everybody's, cry. Get the heck off our campus. Go back to Israel. You have the right to return. Get the hell out. Get out now. We're sick and tired of you protesting. And basically, you're only protesting. Why? Because you want to silence our speech. You want to violate our First Amendment rights. And then you're going to protest and walk out because you want to violate our rights in our own country. Really. Another example of chutzpah overreach here. Now, on Wednesday, the University of Illinois UC, I'm not sure what that UC stands for. Maybe I don't know what it stands for. They passed a resolution titled Condemning Ignorance of Racism and Equating Anti-Zionism and Anti-Semitism. And it was passed by 29-2 with two abstentions. And the document was authored by five student senators aligned with the UIUC, whatever that is, for justice in Palestine. Well, here's something novel. Why don't all of you kids just kind of like go back to learning something and start it instead of just trying to make everything political all the time? Now, I don't mind if you go after the Israelis. They're a bunch of idiots anyways. I don't have a problem with that. But at the same time, why don't you guys focus on things that are actually academic? You know, like academic. And that goes for the Jews and everybody else too. Listen, we don't want our campuses being used as launch pads for collective social idiocy. And who can argue that that's not what we have today? Literally, who can't argue that? Now, when you look at some of the words coming out of here, it says this resolution was written without Jewish input. Well, how many laws are written without our input? You want, Jews are so stupid. I swear, they are so stupid. Tactically, they're stupid. They want to go around all the world and they want to say, you must install the international definition of anti-Semitism. Well, how much input did we have in that? We didn't have it, but you guys, they want to create laws. They want to imprison people, yet they want to use a definition that had absolutely zero input from anywhere in the world. And here you guys in the Jewish community are going to complain about how, oh, we didn't get any input. You know what? You're trying to overturn an election in the United States right now, and you're basically holding closed door meetings trying to impeach a president, and it's all behind closed doors. And it's like, well, you know, we got so much information. Anyways, I'll get back to that later. So it says here, we watched as it was beelined through the Senate and committee during some of our holiest of days. Well, too bad, isn't it, dudes? You should have just gone back and taken care of business then, right? Because you know what? Our world doesn't operate around a Jewish world. Actually, it does. That's why it's such a nutcase world right now. That's why we are seeing such failures at every step of the way, because we have too much Jewish influence. So as far as I'm concerned, if it's ushered through on a day where Jews are too busy, you know, thinking about their self-importance, okay, you think Jews are going to stop things for you for Christmas or Easter? Heck, no, they're not. They're going to keep railroading things through. So who cares what they say? Nesher added, before inviting all Jewish students and their allies to leave the meeting,
He says the resolution was drafted back in October 16th. The sole Jewish senator and student government, Ian Katzelnelson, that's a weird name, was only made aware of the resolution when it was made public. They choose to willingly not listen. Well, who cares? Who wants to listen to you Jews whining all the time? See, I swear, if I was on campus nowadays, I would be one of the most antagonistic SOBs you get. They'd be screaming to get me kicked off of campus. That's how intolerant and racist and bigoted these Jewish people are. They wouldn't put up with my ability to speak. Are you kidding me? Heck no. They can barely allow us to work on Twitter and the internet as it is now. And yet here they are complaining that we didn't get any input. Whatever, dudes. In the same message, you pointed out concerns. Well, we don't care about Jewish concerns. That's not for us. Who cares? So, but he says concerns were raised about a recent presentation with anti-Semitic content. Oh, go screw yourself already. Seriously, go screw yourself. When I hear this type of idiotic language from these prima donna nutcases, I'm tired of it. Seriously. And I see it, you know, because I do the show, right? So I research a lot of this stuff. And you see the same garbage language across their spectrum. Oh, it's anti-Semitic content. Well, you know what? Calling something anti-Semitic is anti-American, anti-Western, anti-United States. And therefore, we should kick you out of a country because you're using the term. How's that for logic? Why not? That's what Jews are saying. Oh, if it's anti-Semitic, it should not be allowed anywhere. So therefore, you should be kicked out. You should lose your job. So, okay, fine. If you use the word, you should be kicked out. Lose your job. Go back to Israel and never come back. Isn't that what Jews are trying to say by using the term? They are. That's the point. It's not even, you know, you may think I sound like a ranting, insane guy, but I'm just taking what they are doing and turning it back on them. I'm not creating anything new here. The time for silencing, this is this anti-Israeli group. Well, why did you call it anti-Israeli group? What's to be pro-Israel for? Just say a group that supports Palestine. Why did you have to throw in the term anti-Israel and then insult our intelligence by making yourselves out to be some intellectual geniuses that we're supposed to be given an ear to? Or you're supposed to be some, you guys get what I mean. Here's a great, Eskimo name, Max Shapiro. That's right, Max Shapiro. He's a sophomore, former student senator. Wow, that's impressive. He must have gotten kicked out in his freshman year because he's only a sophomore, right? He told the Allgemeiner that the Jewish community had to show up in force and tell the student government was not being represented. Well, okay, yes, you are. You're a tiny minority. You got one person on there. That's your minority. Shut up and get out of here. Okay, you are represented. You have somebody there. You're a minority. Get the heck out of our face. You don't run out. You don't sit there and say, I'm the minority here and you must listen to me. No, you're a hyper minority. Now get out. And of course, that's why they want diversity, guys, because they don't want awareness getting to the point where critical mass starts to turn on Jewish power. So they want to diversify our countries as fast as possible just so they can prevent this from ever happening. That is kind of what is happening out there in the world today, just in one city here. That's kind of cool. So student leaders of Eleni Chabad led the group in a vigil. Wow, aren't you impressed? They held a vigil in recent victims of anti-Semitic violence. Well, how about you Jews hold a vigil for all the victims of violence of Jewish policies in our countries? Oh, I'm sure you Jews don't care about that, do you? You don't care about the rapes against women. You don't care about the murders against children. You don't care about the pedophiles running around. You don't care about the fact that you can't even walk on the streets in some parts of Europe nowadays, and even in America, quite frankly, because of your failed policies. Where are your vigils, Jews? Seriously, you want us to have sympathy for your vigil like it's something important? No, we think you are completely selfish, classless people now. Because I don't see you having vigils for anybody but yourself. Isn't that surprising? Go figure. Jews only, right? That's the Jewish way, right? Yeah, I know, they hate when I say that, but they know I'm right. It's the Fetch, everybody. That's the Oy Vey moment, again, brought to you by the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show. Visit AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com to catch all his archives. Back with more right after this.
And welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. It is Saturday, October the 26th, 2019. And again, a good Saturday morning still to all of you listening in the United States and Canada. A good evening, really, late afternoon to evening to even late evening now to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones. I'm not sure how many of you are actually out there listening, but hey, good evening and good afternoon if you are. Again, we had a great week last week. You know, I had a heck of a time in Italy, enjoyed it immensely. And before, I would not have been all that interested in seeing the multiculturalism in play, you know. And I'll tell you, and again, if you've heard this Thursday, bear with it, because I just want to say it again, a few more things again from Thursday's show, is this time I actually went looking just to see, you know, be aware. And I was in this northern Italian town, kind of mountainous, near the base of the Alps up in the northern part of Italy. And the only people I saw, like, that walking and didn't belong there, like walking, it's like, what are you doing here? Were like four or five African migrants dressed terribly. You know, it's like, you know, you don't look like you belong here. The entire area here is full of class. It's got culture. The people carry themselves with dignity. They are respectful. And then you got these five, I think it's four or five, these African migrants just walking along a road where there's like, why would you be on this part of the world? I mean, what are you doing here type of thing? Now, obviously, people have a right per se to, it's everybody's planet per se in some respects. But it's like, man, what are you doing here? That stuck out, quite frankly. Then you go to the hotels, not the hotels, but to dinner. And in the hotels, not so bad. But if you go out into the main public, you would see small, very small, quite frankly, examples of multiculturalism, Jewish racial mixing type of thing in play. You would see it. You know, one table here, like, dude, what are you doing, man? Seriously, you know, he's got some, I don't know. It's okay. I mean, at the end of the day, if that's what they want, but if they're doing it because of programming, they need to, it's like, what are you doing type of thing. So, but that happened once. Same thing in Milan. You'd see a lot more of it in Milan. But Milan, with all due respect, it's more of an international city anyways. It's kind of like an international point for business in the Middle East and in Italy. So you have to be a little bit resilient. You know, you can't be so racially sensitive that you think everything should be one homogenous thing. That's not realistic, nor is it necessarily desirable. What you want to do is keep things under control. That's it, that you have everything is under some type of demographic control to where it's not becoming overpowering or out of, I don't know how to word it, but like out of control. Like here in Riyadh, come on, man, we got Saudis, you got Americans, you got British, you got French, you have Indians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Filipinos, you name it. This is an international city. It's an international meeting point, same as Dubai, same as, you know, other areas. What you don't want to see, quite frankly, is you don't want to see a lot of the illegal style immigration where people are just coming to just kind of freeload off of everybody and take whatever they can from the society, but they contribute nothing, nor is there any real reason for them to really be there. It's not like it's a human right for everybody to just hang out in our cities type of thing. Look, if you want to come as a tourist and contribute and rent the hotels and go to our restaurants, hey, we'd love to have you. I was speaking to one of the guys. He's in one of my training classes, and he said, hey, I'm going to be gone for the next 2 weeks. I said, where are you going? And he said, I'm going to Los Angeles. I said, oh, really? You're going to L.A.? He said, yeah. I said, where about you staying? He said, somewhere near Hollywood and Vine. I said, stay out of trouble, man. But, you know, this is a Saudi kid. He's going to go over. I told him to bring back some tortillas. You know, I want some corn tortillas. I always get my fix from guys that go over there. But, you know, these types of things, well, there's nothing wrong with that, guys. You can't be so close-minded that you don't allow in other groups into your mindset, into your thinking. That's just silly. in many respects. But you do want to start paying attention, obviously, to when things and where things are getting out of control, like we hear from Frederick, for instance, down in North Carolina, where this is a planned type of invasion against the existing or the legacy people down there in North Carolina. Legacy is like the old guard, so to speak, is your legacy. You know, it's interesting. I talked earlier about the Pacific Gas and Electric story and how they are so committed to diversity that they essentially are embracing mediocrity. And what is the price of diversity? Literally your entire electrical grid being shut down just because Mother Nature, again, wants to sneeze, which we call in California, elevated winds in the form of Santa Ana wind. So every time this happens, now PG&E, because they don't have a skilled workforce, they have a diverse workforce. They don't have a skilled workforce. They have a inclusive workforce, but they don't have a workforce that is actually there to engineer the network such that it doesn't fail. I mean, they are there essentially just to be enriching themselves, as they said right in their website. So these are all problems you want to be watching out for. Anyways, it's Frank. Frank, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Dennis. You know, a friend of mine was listening to you earlier, and she told me, well, she's listening now to, hello, Kathleen. She told me that PG&E, and I was in a hurry. I didn't get the source on this, but she's been aware for some time that PG&E is owned by the Rothschilds.
That is actually,
or one of their front companies. But that's not surprising. But
and it's correct. That is a correct statement. It is essentially it's in receivership, and I think the Rothschilds bought it up for pennies on the dollar, and now it's back into receivership.
Yep.
Which means they want the American taxpayers to bail them out. We'll buy it, but you pay us. We can't engineer crap. We can't keep our network up, but pay us.
Yeah.
So is Kate, does your friend like the show, or is she a longtime listener, or she just started listening?
Oh, no. She's a long time listener.
Thank you for listening. I'm waving to her. I don't know where she's at, but I'm waving. Cool.
Yeah, she likes bacon as well. I don't eat bacon. I don't eat the bacon. But
you don't know what you're missing.
She's
dude.
A big bacon person.
You don't know what you're missing.
She's a cat person too.
There you go.
I always ask when I talk to her. I always ask her for a cat report.
There you go.
On her own. Yeah.
Cool. Anyways, what else is up?
Hey, well, as long as I'm on here. This Judicial Watch report
yes.
that's come out about the nature of ISIS.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, they've basically gotten documents basically showing that ISIS was created and groomed and controlled, by, quote, CIA, whatever. So anyway, that's out there. I don't know if you just look up Judicial Watch and then add in ISIS to that and probably come up. That's probably something you want to take a look at.
Yeah, and that's something actually, to be honest with you, has been around for quite some time. I mean, that's been out since like 2015. So it's
that particular report?
Well, I don't know which particular one it's referring to, but if you go back into the history of this, you've got reports coming out as early as 2015 about this.
Yeah, well, I mean, as soon as I ever heard of ISIS, I said the Jew, it's the Jew.
Yeah, I was on with Henrik back when I was on with Henrik Palmgren back when it just started getting going, and I was in Jordan. I hadn't heard the ISIS, Israel Secret Intelligence Service name for it, and I was like, I was still doing other things, and Henrik brought that to my attention. I thought, yeah, okay, but now it all makes sense. In fact, they now know that a lot of these commanders were actually Jewish Mossad operatives.
Yeah, and David Duke has promoted a lot this video of this general basically admitting that they would recover the wounded ISIS fighters off the battlefield and, provide them with medical care and put them back out on the battlefield.
Yeah, that's true.
And also this incident where ISIS mistakenly hit some Israeli target, and they contacted him by radio, via radio or whatever, ASAP, and told him, hey, look, we're so sorry. That was a mistake. You know, Israel was never attacked, not purposely anyway, by ISIS. And yeah, I mean, I've watched that clip. I've spread it around many times when I was on the internet of that PBS show, public, you know, TV show, where they asked him about ISIS, and the guy admitted, well, you know, he said, well, how do you guys, you know, refer to yourself, like, in, you know, correspondence, you know, all the different Israeli intelligence services. And anyway, he said, well, you know, we just refer to ourselves as, you know, ISIS, you know, Israeli intelligence, Israeli secret intelligence services, you know.
So, yeah, I never seen that one. Most of what you raised, yeah, pretty well aware of all those things, but that one I didn't actually hear.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I know that we've known about ISIS for a long, long time, but I'm just looking for stuff because, you know, I tell, you know, family members for years, I don't know, God, it seems like a decade about that. And they all just look at me like a deer in the headlights, like, you're nuts. No. ISIS is not us. It's not our government. It's not CIA. It's not Mossad. That's those crazy, you know, jihadis. So I just wanted, you know, it's just good to have something, you know, that people recognize, Judicial Watch, where you can send them a link and say, see, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I haven't seen it. But this is, of course, for listeners of this show, for the most part, old news. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, we all know. Yeah, all the listeners to your show know about ISIS.
So,
okay, well, I'll get out of the way.
All right, thanks, Frank, everybody.
I hadn't been to Italy in a long time. By the way, I did spend a little bit of time in Italy, mostly out in the countryside. We were always out.
Country's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful country.
Oh, it was.
Really, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah, I enjoyed the trip very much. Spain. Haven't been to, well, I've been, I can't say I've never been to Spain because people might start singing, but I have been to Spain. It's a joke, man. Never been to Spain.
Yeah.
Three Dog Night.
France, yeah.
All right, Frank, let's move on. We got another caller on the line.
All right, Dennis.
Thanks so much. 419 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. I guess he's fallen off the number here. So, okay, well, no problem. Call back if you'd like to call back.
Hello?
Oh, hi there.
Hello,
419. Hi. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
I thought this was a listener line, not a participant line.
You know, no, I don't have the listener line right now. I should know it, but I don't have it. Let me see if I can get it for you. Would you like me to try to find it real quick for you?
Yes, please.
Okay, hold on here. Let me go to Revolution. Revolution. If you got it in the chat room, guys, you might want to throw it in. Revolution.radio. And go to, I'm looking. See if I can find something quickly here for you. Studio A. Studio A, this number to listen to. Ready? 605.
Yes.
Yeah, 605-468-4702.
All right.
At 605-468-4702 or 206-629-0182.
Okay. I wanted to say that my name is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
And I love Frank. My son said that Frank's his brother from another mother.
Uh-oh.
And he agrees with everything that Frank says.
Well, that's a lot of us do. He says a lot of great stuff.
Yes, he does.
And how do you like Inside the Eye Live?
I like it. For some reason, I have a hard time finding it on my computer to listen to it. I used to listen to it whenever I could find it before, but now I don't know what I've done wrong or what's different, but. Okay. All I had to, it was Studio A and Studio B, and I clicked on Studio A, and I could hear you.
And now sometimes it doesn't work, huh? Yeah, maybe that's something on the backside from the server side. So, yeah, that's possible. We're on TuneIn. If you have applications on your phone, you can go to TuneIn Radio. Look up Revolution Radio for TuneIn. We're there also.
Okay. I will try that.
Nancy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good luck with the listening.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. That's Nancy, everybody. Looking for the listener line again. If you'd like to listen in on your phone, it's going to be 1-605-468-4702 or 206-629-0182. So either of those will work for you, and feel free to listen in on the phone. Actually, I know we've actually got quite a few people that actually do use those phone lines. It's very popular, believe it or not. I didn't realize that, but people told me, no, Dennis, you have more listeners than you realize on the phone line. So it is what it is. So those are available to you. In fact, if I were to ever set up my own network, I'd have to duplicate that service because people actually do like to use those services. Let's see. I'm trying to make my way back real quick to my network here. Here it is. Yeah, there it is. We're still. Okay, I see. All right. Let's see. Moving on. I don't know if you saw the story coming out of Oxford, kind of a stupid story. Really, it's a really stupid story. But it just shows you the degree to which the kids nowadays are just absolutely losing their intellectual acumen. And not that this represents all of Oxford University, because it doesn't. It's just a particular student union there on Oxford University or at Oxford University. They have now passed a motion this week to ban clapping. That's right. They're going to ban clapping and replace it with a silent jazz hands waving, insisting that applause could trigger anxiety. So this motion to mandate and encourage silent clapping uses the more inclusive British Sign Language. So basically, if I'm blind, tell me, are you really being inclusive? If I can only hear, but I cannot see, are you really being inclusive? No, you're not. You're being an idiot. And really, that's the case of what happens here. They try to peddle this nonsense of being more inclusive. But the reality is that they are isolating or removing people from the whole process. In this case, 95% of us don't care about your jazz thing. If you want a jazz hand, everybody, that's fine. I ain't got a problem with that. Jazz hand people all you want. You want a silent clap all you want. You're welcome. We're inclusive. Do what you want. But now you're going to tell 95% of us, 97% of us, that we're not supposed to clap under your rules of engagement here within your meetings, etc. How is that being inclusive? That's no more inclusive. I don't have a good simile for that, but it's far. It's just dumb. It's just dumb. I mean, we are dealing with some of the most brain dead, stupid people out there in our society. I don't know how, quite frankly, like a University of Oxford, which is supposed to be some of the brightest, could come out with something that is so irrationally absurd. We're going to be more inclusive by banning 95% of you. Yeah, okay. Wonderful logic there, guys. Let's ban 95% of the society to be, quote-unquote, more inclusive. Not sure what this is, but there's a story about Leeds. I don't know how old this is. Actually, it's very old. This one's for Graham Hart. Said Leeds Trinity University capital letters trigger students. And I've learned from Graham Hart, he gets kind of triggered by capital letters too. So, you know, I think maybe we should get a teaching job for Graham, and he can like go over there to Leeds University. Hey, I'm triggered by capital letters too, but here's why. And let him teach a good class about why you shouldn't use capital letters. So that's going out there. And then we had another situation not so long ago. First part of this month, this is also going back to the UK, the University of, there was an event at Edinburgh, University of Edinburgh, or Edinburgh University, whatever you want to call it. And what it was here you are on British soil. And this is the absurdity of all this, guys. You're on British soil. British soil. Does anybody understand the word British soil? British soil implies a homogenous, for lack of a better term, white-skinned population. And they had an event called Resisting Whiteness. Now, can you imagine you're on British soil partaking of everything that the British social system through the ages, and it's a rich 1,000-plus-year history, and here you are resisting whiteness, which is just another word to say resisting British culture, resisting assimilation into British society. And then on top of it, they didn't allow anybody who was white to actually speak at this event. Now, can you imagine? Jews would be holding vigils. They'd be getting mass press all throughout the world and all their press organs and mouthpieces out there. They'd be staging protests. They'd be whining about, oh, get this term, anti-Semitism. Yet you can sit there and you can be on British soil and you could put an event that's called Resisting Whiteness, which is basically saying resisting assimilation into Britain, which means what? You are coming there to conquer the British people. That's what it's really saying, guys. And you're not going to allow anybody from Britain to resist this by allowing them to speak and raise any counter issues that someone from Britain might have. So these are some of the subtle ways in which the communist Jewish left is waging war on Western Europe and Western Europeans in general. And it'll manifest all over the place. Of course, one of the ways we see it manifesting often is in how we don't have the ability to represent ourselves anymore. And what I mean by that is that if you have a situation where you are seen or viewed or accused of being a quote unquote an anti-Semite. Oof, big word there, right? But it's a serious issue because Jews regard this as their blanket to attack, to use violence, to assault, to destroy, and do everything vile towards a person that is targeted that they desire. And really, to me, we have to raise the issue now about just what these assaults really are. Acts of unilateral, vicious violence by the Jewish community against Western Europeans in an effort, quite frankly, to silence them into acquiescence and destroy them the entire way as you're taking them down. It's almost like you're going out, you're assaulting somebody, and you have a position of power, which they do have, and you tell them if you say one word, you're going to hit them even harder. And if you scream, I'm going to hit you even harder. And of course, it doesn't matter if you scream or not. They're going to still destroy you the same anyways. So you might as well scream a little bit and start to make waves against this type of behavior by the Jewish community. So much so that the parallel or the reciprocal behavior should be seen socially to be acceptable, which means that if a Jew says something that is not liked within the community should have and should exercise. And this is a very dangerous path to go down, but Jews are already using this path, guys. It's not like I'm saying anything that's not now known. I've known about it for years because I've been targeted for years, long before I came here. But the issue now is that if a Jew calls someone an anti-Semite, should then that not be viewed as an act of violence and therefore everybody within that Jewish circle be destroyed? These are questions that you're going to have to start acting or asking. Should a pending, quote unquote, a pending civil war, and I'm not here to sell civil war, but heck, you even had a Major League Baseball umpire having to apologize for saying he's going to go out and buy an AR-15 to protect Donald Trump in the coming civil war. See, this talk is out there. You can't escape it. And we understand that Jews want to make it this way, especially these elite Jews. The regular Jews out there, they don't care. You know, they think that the police are there to protect them, not you. That the army is there to protect Jews.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements.
All right, everybody. Welcome back. Yeah, it is indeed the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, Saturday, October the 26th. We are back halfway through the show. which I guess is a pretty good thing. We're still having a good morning after about an hour or so of Fetch ranting as he was, but hopefully things are going good. We're going to go real quick right now out to California, Southern California to be exact. Hi, Jack. Welcome back to Inside the Eye Live.
Thank you, Fetch. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Oh, it's good evening now, actually, but I'm doing great, actually. I'm doing great. I mean, how can I complain? You know?
Listen, I posted a couple things in the chat room. One is the interview that Graham Hart did, or should I say Breiser did, on the Graham Hart show with this Eastern Indian, Frank Raymond, up in Vancouver, Canada. Amazing. I urge everyone to listen to it. I would urge you to see if we can get Frank Raymond on the show. He's a very bright gentleman, and he's fighting. He's utilizing free speech, and he's shining the limelight on what organized Jewry is doing. He's a really smart guy, and personally, I got really upset listening to him. Even though I love him, I like what he's doing, the things that he said just made me very mad. And it's funny that here we got a Canadian who is from Eastern India, and he's doing what every American should be doing.
Yes, it's time.
Unreal.
You know, Jack, it's time for people to stop allowing immigrants to do jobs you should be doing. And this is one of those.
Yes. And so the other link that I posted to the room is Reverend Ted Pike from truthtellers.org. He interviewed recently on rents, and that's when I learned
both
about
of these.
New...
You know, Jack, two of these things. People have been raising both of these to me that these are must listens. Believe it or not, both of these interviews I've been instructed these are must listens. You got to go listen to them. So, what about the Ted Pike interview?
So Pike, if you go to his website, and I posted the link in the chat room, he put together a 18-page PDF document. Hagee and the ADL, Hagee the front man, are trying to pass a anti-Semitism bill. Now, I'm not going to read all the things that Pike mentioned they want to do, but here's just a sampling. Alleging that Jews dominate Hollywood and the U.S. media is anti-Semitic. Alleging that Jews dominate U.S. banking, Wall Street, and the Federal Reserve Bank is anti-Semitic. Alleging that Jews exert excessive influence over the U.S. Congress is anti-Semitic. Questioning the accuracy of 6 million figure of Jewish victims of Nazi persecution in World War II is anti-Semitic. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel than to America or more loyal to a Jewish agenda is anti-Semitic. This is just ridiculous. They're waging war on us and no one's doing shit about it. Pardon my French. Yeah. It's time to speak up because that's what's gonna shut these people down. And the more of us who do stand up
exactly.
And speak and it's gonna scare the hell out of them. And that's why they are scared and they're pulling us off.
That's my point equally. They understand that the game is rigged in their favor. They do not want any opposition to this rigged game. They do not want any voices, obviously, which is the opposition, to speak out. And then they want to criminalize it. Ultimately, they want to criminalize, and people need to understand that when Jews rose to power in the Soviet Union, they did this exact same thing. They created laws that made the criticism of Jews illegal, and eventually they got a capital punishment linked to it. So they executed some 60 million people. Now, what makes you think that they will not do the same thing here in the United States? Seriously, what makes you think they won't? This is their pattern. This is what they do everywhere they go. Armenia, they were the advisors between Chairman Mao. They were advising with Pol Pot in Cambodia. This is what they do. They are a death cult. They believe in killing people. That's the root of Jewish culture, killing people. That's where it comes from.
It's surreal. It's like we're not even living in reality.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I was told about this Senate bill. I think it's Senate Bill H-52. I haven't read it either yet. I should probably go look it up and maybe cover it a little bit next week. But yeah, big issue, you know, that they're doing this. And it just highlights every single one of those is true statements, though. So they basically want to outlaw the truth.
And for all the Christians out there, whether they're a Christian Zionist or not, you know, one of the things they're trying to pass is alleging classic anti-Semitism, the New Testament claim that Jews, including Pharisaic leaders, inciting a Jewish mob who pressured Pilate and Roman soldiers to crucify Jesus. This is what? At the very top of ADL's priorities for criminal indictment. So let that wake them up.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, understand Jews. They are so obsessed with trying to just hide under a carpet, a magic carpet of words. You know, it's like, dude, you know, you've never made, you know, maybe they'll capture America, Jack, and maybe they will. I mean, they've already captured it. They just want to keep it, and they want to destroy as many people in the process of doing that. But I don't know, man. They're just so obsessed with this insanity. And then you wonder why they've been routed from over 1,000 localities in their history, and why America must be next. If America has any type of patriotism left, Jews should be a top priority for sending them back to Aliyah and making them go back to Israel. I know others saying, no, we don't want them to go to Israel. We want to put them on a reservation, let them breed themselves out. They'll just cause more mayhem elsewhere. And maybe that's an okay. I mean, at this time, the violence that Jews are committing against the American people is astounding. From the medical system to the school system, the LGBT, the transgender agenda, all of these things are literal assaults on the human, on the American people. So they are committing violence as we speak. And that has to be recognized.
Agreed. Yeah, it's unfortunate. And it's getting worse. The grip is getting tighter. And hopefully people are going to start to wake up as this grip gets tighter and they feel the pressure. I'm certainly feeling it. I mean, you connect the dots, it's getting worse. And I don't really see anyone in the national or media that is willing to stick their neck out because they know what'll happen. The organized Jewry will chop it off. But how far are we going to be pushed until they take it to this extreme and people realize?
Well, I mean, wow. And in many respects, how is it not an extreme already? I mean, just within our network, Jack, look what happened to Alison Shiblo. Look what happened to Monica Schaefer. Look what happened to Graham Hart. Look what happened to Han in the chat room with his business. Look what happened to Georgia with her radio show. It's already, this is all our inner circle here. This is our inner circle. I've had CAA come after me already, myself. I've had them try to go after me also. It's not like this isn't happening, guys. It's happening already. I mean, you can't even, you can't donate a small amount of money to somebody Jews disapprove of? Otherwise, you lose your entire life's work, like your business. So how is this not violence to our people, to the American people? No, I don't care what race, creed, or color you are. This is an act of violence against the American way of life. It's not for one hyper minority of people to tell us who we must support, who we must believe. This is totalitarianism, and it's something that I personally am absolutely opposed to, obviously. I'm not a totalitarian. I think everybody should be able to do what they want. Just keep your nose out of everybody's business. It's not Jews' no business to be in my business. Get your nose out of my business, including what I say, what I think, or what I do. If I don't like your policies, I have a right to speak up.
You know, I'm scared, you know, I feel the fear, but you have to overcome your fear to realize that the future for my nephew and nieces, our grandchildren, this young generation, there is no future. They will not have a future. If you have anything within you that cares about your grandchildren, your children, and what's going to happen 10, 20, 30 years from now, you have no choice but to stand up and speak. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. No questions here. No disagreements here, man. Okay. Anything else? Real quick.
Well, I hope you're doing well, Fetch. I appreciate everything you're doing, and I know you've been traveling these last couple of weeks. Thanks to Blackbird for covering you. It was a great show last week, but I'm glad that you're back.
And I was asking last Thursday. I was asking last Thursday, do you guys miss me when I'm gone?
Yeah, I was in the chat room. I caught that.
So it's
you're definitely one of the best voices out there amongst a lot of peers, but you've persevered. And as you noted, man, they've come for you. They've attacked you, EMF, the whole, you know, character assassinate, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And you're still here.
And I'm still here.
And I think that's
the point, guys. I'm still here, man. I'm tough to knock down. I remember one time, dude, I was getting hit with some EMF, right? This is not even a joke. I was getting hit and it was from downstairs right below me, right? And the guy is probably LAPD at the time. He's like, man. And it was like, you can feel it waving through your body. And this guy, damn, this guy is bulletproof. And I'm like, that's right, dude. Don't you forget it. I ain't easy to knock down. But yeah, I've had a lot of fun times, dude. I don't want to go back to those wars, but I've had a lot of fun times. All right. Thanks, Jack.
Well, I think you serve in his example, Fetch, that, you know, someone as outspoken as you are, is still vibrant and alive. Your voice is still persevering. Your thoughts are still persevering. And I think that serves an example for those of us that are out there in the radio listening world.
It helps. It helps if you start with really good DNA because it's been degraded a lot. But it's okay. I'm still around, as you said. It's all good stuff. All right. Thanks so much, Jack.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Going back to Frank. Frank, you're back. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Yeah, and don't forget Woody. Woody was
it was a great show last week, guys. I'm like, I could hand this over to you guys. You guys were pretty entertaining. Different style, of course, than Inside the Eye Live, but it was still a very good show.
Yeah, it's amazing how it's amazing to see how people like that keep their sense of humor about all this. I'll be honest, I do find myself laughing sometimes uncontrollably. Just about the absurdity of it all. But I'll be honest with you, I'm angry most of the time. And I'll be honest with you, that's one reason I've cut back a lot. I only listen to a few broadcasts.
Well, yeah,
yours,
I get
Aaron.
I used to have guys here, you know, Patriots also, and generally white guys. And they would be so into Alex Jones and a few other shows, and they would become so angry. It's like, dude, relax a little bit. Still got to live, man. Still got to go out and enjoy yourself. So, that's my motto. I try to let things go as soon as I can. When I need to engage, I engage. And when I need to pull back, I pull back. But I don't let things become too all-encompassing because we still, as you should know, Frank, you're kind of semi-trained in this stuff. Once your brain starts to get overwhelmed with anxiety, your ability to think on the fly diminishes. So you must always maintain some cool demeanor at all times. Otherwise, Your thought processes, your decision making is going to be impaired, and that's the key point.
Well, the reason that I called back and then I'll hang up is break was going over like the last minute or two, and I was really interested in what you were saying, but I couldn't hear it. And I was wondering, is there any way you could repeat what you said before the last
I'll
break?
I'll try to remember what I said. How's that? Because there.
Okay, well, give me a second to dial back in because it takes me about 30 seconds.
No worries. I'll be somewhere else and I'll try to get back to that in the next hour or so.
Okay.
Yeah, but I'll be back at it for sure because it's kind of a theme of today's show. All right, that's Frank again calling back, everybody, because I was kind of stupid and going through the break last time. Thanks to Woody in the background. Hey, Fetch, it's a break time. All right, you know, the issue here in America, one thing is I noticed a story about Elijah Cummings. And Elijah Cummings is a Democrat. He is I believe, a Democrat. He was... Where he's from, I don't know. Let me try to look here if they give the story here. But there was Elijah Cummings. He's in the Congress. He's in the Senate, I believe. And he purportedly died just a couple days ago. And yesterday there was the funeral. He was lying in state inside of the United States. And one of the pallbearers refused to shake the hand of Mitch McConnell while in that line, in other words, the handshake line or whatever you want to call it. And I thought to myself, you know, something might be up with this because, you know, for sure, John McCain was executed. We know that pretty much for sure. I think we've got some evidence, at least, people commenting openly that he was executed. That's from Congress members. Obviously, it's widely rumored that George W. Bush, President Bush, also was executed. And now there's word coming out that just indeed perhaps Elijah Cummings was executed. So, and I have called for openly, but not so much over the air here, but openly within my private circles, that this really is a war. It really is a shooting war. And the people on the other side have no morals. They have no values. They are ruthless. They will destroy for the sake of destroying. They are probably engaging in some type of black magic through the use of the capture of children. And I'll tell you a story. Years ago, I was doing, of course, my esoteric work. And there is a degree coming out of, I believe it was Australia. And it had to do with, I believe, the OTO, the Occidental Templar Orientalis, something like that. And there was something called the ninth degree. And the ninth degree said something to the effect that children are your property to do as you wish. And if you wish to even breed the children and then use them for your own purposes, like cattle, which sounds very Jewish here, you are free to do that. If you wish to make that child and destroy that child for some type of black magic ritual, and you wish to breed children for black magic rituals, this is perfectly acceptable. Now, they're not obviously saying that inside the words, but when you start to read between the lines of what they're saying, literally anything is possible. And when we look at things like the Talmud and their use of abuse of children, quite frankly, and you look at also OTO, some Crowley-oriented things about do as thou wilt, of course they wilted as they did, you start to get the hint that what we are at war with is not just evil people, but something really dark behind the circles, something very sinister behind the screen that we just can't get to. And this would then get into probably the Jewish Kabbalistic operational Kabbalah, actually. It probably gets into what we would then call Jewish operational Kabbalah. So when I hear of things, I say, look, when you identify as a U.S. military, U.S. intelligence operative, those key lynch points where some type of extrajudicial activity needs to be put into play. Now, you're not going to go extrajudicially, but you certainly can do so through some of these secret courts that we have. Now, I'm not necessarily all for that because I know it's a very big can of worms to open. But understand that when we look at what's going on in the world today, you can go on to social media. Just like Twitter, for instance. I rarely go to Twitter. But if I look at the news, I have, in the case of, let's say, the impeachment of Donald Trump or the attempted impeachment here, I can go through and I can get dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people mocking, scoffing, sowing doubt, trolling. It's the same behavior I witnessed years and years and years ago, back in the early days of the troll wars, when basically the children were doing it. Now they've all grown up, everybody. They're just a little bit better and smarter now than they were as kids, and they were bright kids. Give them credit. But they're all sowing doubt about reality. They're trying to confuse the issues here. And I'm like, you know, in our case, we're generally up front. We're honest. We're out in the open. We're expressing our opinion. We're not trying to necessarily deceive the audience. That's not our purpose here. Our purpose is to elevate knowledge so that people can start to make their own decisions. So, myself, long time ago, Twitter was taken down. Other sites were taken down. I've been taken down. My YouTube channel's taken down. All my social media accounts were long ago silenced. And I just don't have the patience to go back into this scummy world, build an audience, which really benefits the companies. Doesn't really, it benefits me just for publicity, but financially rewards these companies for building this content only to have them take it down. I know recently Red Ice TV, their account, 330,000 people strong, was taken down. Their backup account of 25,000 strong was taken down. Now, mind you, my biggest YouTube channel left is only like 600 people. Okay. It's not, it's all esoteric. I don't work it, but it's 600 people, right? So imagine 330,000 followers taken down. You're getting 10, 20,000, 8,000 per video. You're reaching the audience. And the SPLC, which is what? Jewish. Decides that you don't have the right to be in any forum anymore. And they just collaborate and they just take you out. They take you out. It's a form of assassination. Right now, they are using forms of assassination. Now, when you get to more senior levels, you will find that real assassinations do take place. You will see it in suicided doctors. You will see it in suicided journalists. You might see it or hear about it in suicided bankers. But guys, assassinations are ongoing all the time. It's not as if this isn't part of the game. It is part of the game. And so when I hear of things like McCain being taken out, he should have been. This man should have been. He's sitting there in Syria openly cavorting with terrorists. Okay? What part of aiding and abetting an enemy that you don't get here? Now, some of these people are unreachable, apparently, like Hillary Clinton. We can't reach her. But Debbie Wasserman Schultz, why is she still acting? Why is she still around? See, there are certain layers within this circle that you wonder when it goes into a hot war. And I'm talking about assassinations. Or, in this case, not assassinations, but tribunals. Ones in which they take people out, they try them in military tribunals, and they execute them. Elijah Cummings, I wonder. Because why, really, when I read the story about this guy. We're going into a break. I'll try to catch this on the other side, everybody. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, October 26th. Back with Hour 3 right after this. Excuse me. Welcome back. It's The Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Again, it's Saturday. We're back live after a week off last week. Again, I was in Italy, a nice trip, enjoyed the trip, loved Italy as a country, quite frankly. I got to see a little bit of it in that week. Really nice place. Where I was more on the backside, on the eastern side of Italy. And from what I understand, most of the headaches, most of the problems are coming over on the western side of the country when they drop these immigrants over on that western shore over there. That problem hasn't made its way yet over to the eastern side. So I had a quite enjoyable, safe, and sane trip, which is always a good thing. Moving, I think, 608 area code. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Oh, hi, Dennis. It's
Murr. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Hey, yeah, that's by the Adriatic Sea, huh?
Yeah, it's right off the Adriatic. I'll be posting pictures later. Let me get things caught up.
Oh, goody.
I'll post some pictures.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a few things to be released before I can go public with pictures and photos and all that. But I do have some permission to release some of this stuff. And permission is not granted to release other stuff, so I can't obviously say what I was doing and stuff like that. But I was in Italy, quite nice. Really, it was a great trip, and I got some nice pictures of me along the Adriatic in some of these very ancient castles, and really nice. I had dinner in a 400-plus-year-old building.
Wow.
That goes all the way back to, you know, 400 years ago. And the ambiance inside there was fantastic. They had a pasta bean soup that was just, it was just fantastic. Add in some grilled vegetables and some pasta, and you can imagine I was eating very well all week. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I guess a lot of the properties were Catholic church properties that the Jews managed to swindle away. You know,
well, what I understand is that the northern two-thirds of Italy still remains largely Catholic. So there was quite a lot of beautiful churches along the way.
I don't profess any religion, like I told you before. It's Jesus Christ I love, and you got to go right to the source if that's what you're after.
Sure, sure. It's up to, I'm not in the religious side of things.
I'm into spirit to spirit.
Yeah, I'm just here to elevate knowledge.
People want to ignore the spiritual, the supernatural world. And I wanted to give you a name and your listeners, Jennifer Guskin. If you go to Victoris Libertas, they've had their YouTube channel back again, and you can get the playlist there. I've gotten into this habit where I'm not sleeping at night a lot of times. They're just off and on. So I'll, from the other room, put on a playlist to play through the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard Cheryl Hersha, and she was going under C.A. Beck over at Ape Danger the other day, and I listened to that, and I said, oh, that's Cheryl Hersha. So then I came back to see, and here's this Jennifer Guskin that I hadn't heard. And these are people that have survived and are getting their memories back. And people really need to be aware of what's going on. Last week, is it the 21st, I think, on V, it's a show on RBN. And, it's good what they do, but there's just so much. But they had Philip Anderton, and I guess he went by Kyler Davenport on the web, and I had never heard of him, but he was due for surgery, big tumor hanging off his kidney, and they were going to cut him from all the way around and everything on Thursday morning. And V reminded him, this V is a big black guy, and he does a lot of stuff for Liberty Beacon TV and stuff. And he lives in Poland, but and then we have on the East Coast one of his co-hosts, Will Turbitt, calls himself the Alex Jones of New Hampshire, I think it is, or Rhode Island, one of them, and Bill the Butcher, and he writes all kind of stuff. And they've got a lot of it, but they don't, like some of the things like saying JonBenet Ramsey was killed by her brother. No, if you go to Able Danger, ABELDANGER.org, and really search, just put her name in there. But, they have pictures, okay, of her, and it was professional, like special ops type strangulation and stuff. So there's just so much,
It is. I think what's happening here, what I honestly think is happening, because I spent my time in the Kabbalistic world, and not in an operational side. I'm just one that works on the English language side of it, and I'm not a crafter. I'm a reader, which means I try to read what's the essence of the words as it's been handed down. To some people, they say handed down by God himself, that type of thing. It depends on your beliefs. I'm not into that. I'm just into interpreting. But then you can't get into this world without having people from all over the Kabbalistic world contacting you, at least if you're good, contacting you, trying to convince you they're right and you're wrong and all this other fun stuff. And what I learned through this process was in the ritual Kabbalistic arts of the Jewish people, at the very deep, deep, dark side of it, it is this child sacrificing thing. It's not like they offered Abraham, says, hey, God says, give me your child, and Abraham says, oh, okay, I'll do it. Well, that's because it's a child sacrificing type of religion. They're behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. We lose 700,000 children a year. Think about that. It's where are these kids going? That's a huge number of children that we are losing every year. So what are they being used for? Where are they going? Why are they disappearing? All this should be addressed because they just disappear into thin air. That's not a small number, and they never resurface.
You need to listen. Yeah, I need to listen to these survivors because as they're getting their memory back, they put them in basements, chained to the wall, sort of like some of that Podesta art and stuff,
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have like two children chained on one pole or whatever. And so they can't, and some of them freak out and people don't come and bring them food or water for 2 or 3 weeks and see who's left alive. And usually it's not many and they end up cannibalizing whoever dies. And it's just awful,
yes.
And then they use the adrenochrome and all this stuff, where they torture them. But I don't know if you noticed the 2,100 children were rescued. It was reported on the 14th. And
well, this is the thing. I'm not overtly.
Fleet and,
this is not. There's many, many of these stories. 2,100. That's a new story, and it's great news, by the way. But the bigger picture is, I think that again, it's pure speculation, conjecture, because we're not on the inside. But that at the elite levels of our government, they understand this problem. They do get it. And that's why, although it's sold as a war against the pedophiles, it's a war against, you know, human trafficking. In reality, it's much more complex than that. And they don't want to take this live to the public and say, hey, look, we have a child sacrificing elite here that is running our world. And they are involved in black magic, and they are able to release things upon this world that we cannot control. And consequently, the best way to take that out is to remove the energy field by taking these people out and taking away the ability to harvest the energy of the children and obviously channel it for ill will. So this to me is part of what Trump is doing. And if indeed that is true, and I suspect it actually may be, then okay, I'll let the Israeli stuff go for now, with the caveat that Israel still has to be destroyed, because it is the root core of this entire system. But for now, okay.
All in God's good time.
All in good time, exactly. So we'll see what happens. Again, 2020 is coming quickly. I know Elijah Cummings said recently that Trump will be elected in 2020 over his dead body. Okay, now he is dead.
Okay then.
And so I do trust that there is a war going on. That's very dark, very sinister, that for whatever reason, they just don't feel that the general public can handle. So they keep it under wraps.
Yes, but they can, and they have to. The general public really has to get into this and see. That's what I was saying about this Philip Anderson guy. You know, he said people just really, you know, they really need to know how dark this is so they can deal with it. Because all this stuff on the Talmudia, you know, their movies, their music, their sports, all of it, you know, because they're owned. The sports teams are owned.
Yeah.
And you see what happens with them. Get diverse and whatnot. And, and you know, it's all fixed. But if people start to realize just how dark it is, because you see, a lot of people think, you know, oh, I did this or that and think it's bad, right?
Yeah,
everyone is
like ashamed of what they've done, you know, and they have no idea what's going on behind the curtain about these people who are ruling these countries. And because, in my opinion, Murr, again, it's just an opinion, it's conjecture, that Jewish society, the religion itself, the very dark core of that religion is built on child sacrifice. They want to prevent any links of Judaism and Jews to these dark arts like Hollywood.
Well, how about that statue in Switzerland way up on a thing in Juden, right, with his bag of children and he's munching on one?
Yeah,
and it's hundreds of years old.
Hundreds of years old, and these types of things have dogged Jewish culture for centuries and centuries, and quite frankly, these are issues we have to start raising inside the West, too, shouting down Jewish control structures. At the end of the day, power exceeds nothing without a demand. So if you do not demand your freedom, these people will take it away. They have absolutely no qualms. Mm-hmm. If they are deeply into child ritual sacrifice, which I really believe they are, and they've been harvesting this adrenochrome. I don't know if you know, but the engine for like one of the Google devices is called Adreno, and then you've got Chrome, the browser. So even they're linking Adreno and Chrome together as almost if it's some
I'll
type
tell you
of
a nice
subtle
little,
thing.
A nice little search engine, Jibaroo, like Nibiru, but with a G. And it's another one of these proxies, like Startpage is really slow now. But what they do is they go in and get from Google without them getting to read, you know, what your algorithms are. And as Zach Voorhees said, as he came to light there with Project Veritas, they're, you know, how do you think those algorithms get there? Algorithms.
Yeah.
They put them there, of course. They feed the data in so it will come up. And in fact, the day after he came forward, what was on top of Google? Somebody had called in. It's the only reason I know it's one of these radio shows. And saying, look at this. The Amish are into rape. Why would that be at the top of a Google search? This is what they always do, you know, like they put porn on the Palestinians' TVs, and that's all they get. You know, it's means of control.
Stuff like that is just, it shows a lack of tact and class and ethics that really knows no bounds. And it's just the face of a greater evil below the surface. That's why, to me, if you're not calling out the evils of Israel for one, the evils of Jewish culture for two, they can call you an anti-Semite. I don't care, because they're anti-human. Mm-hmm. These people are anti-human.
And anti-Christ.
Well, anti-Christ for
those
are Christians.
And anti-Christ. You know,
yeah.
That is what gets their goad. They weren't able to take that off the books. They want to take out like 1 Thessalonians 2:14-15, where it says they killed their own prophets and they killed Jesus Christ and they're the enemy contrary to all men. I said that here before in the show, but those type of passages, they want removed. They want no blame for having Christ killed. Mm-hmm. So when people dicker about whether that was even real, well, I think this shows it really was real.
Yeah,
you know?
And even if it wasn't, there's something called astral building. You build these in the astral realm, and hence they become real regardless. Like their 6 million figure, they're trying to astrally build it. It never happened.
6 million.
Yeah, it never happened. Maybe they lost. Maybe
six is hex.
Yeah.
I told you about Christ coming to my rescue, though, in the car.
Well,
that happened
bona
fide. That was a bona fide miracle. You know, and I think it was given to me because I'm a little hard-headed, and, you know, and it took me a while to really appreciate it and even talk
about
it.
The funny thing is, these types of stories, to be honest, because I travel the world, you will get these types of stories from all over the world. So they will people, and I think it's okay. I think we all have our guardian angels, and it's all good stuff, man, because I had mine too in my day. Anyways, anything real quick, let's wrap it and then keep moving. I got some more topics I want to
bring up. The targeted individuals, this is going on too, and they do things even from 250 miles up, you know.
Yes,
so,
they do,
like
actually.
Like this guy's cancer, that could have been caused.
You know, I've been in areas where you could actually see the sparks coming down in the air from the sky. You know, literally, I'm like, you know what? How are you guys doing?
Well, you had those marks on your own chest.
Well, that was terrible, but yeah, that was terrible.
I mean, right there's some proof.
That,
you know?
Come on, those are like huge. These were giant welts that took 9 months to heal. Those are terrible. Those are terrible. That was like a direct hit over my heart.
Yikes.
Literally a direct hit. It just didn't burn the heart. It just burned the skin.
Talk about guardian angels. I pray for you all the time. So
thank you.
Stay strong.
I'm doing okay.
Thank
now.
You, Dennis.
All right. Thanks, Murray, everybody.
Yeah.
Out in Wisconsin. 3-2, thank you. 323-275-1314 if you want to talk with the Fetch. I'm here, man. I'm kind of cruising right along. There's a story coming out of Nottingham, also the UK. See, the UK is kind of like giving us an example of what's going to happen to your society once Jews have total and absolute control over your system. Now, put this story into perspective for a second. Really try to conceptualize the totality, assuming it's true. Okay, assuming it's true. There's a student. He had a dating app profile. And on the profile, it featured a Palestinian flag photoshopped over the mouth of a sleeping Jewish man who was riding on the underground. And because he did that, he was actually expelled from his university because of a dating app picture. Now, assuming that's true, can you imagine getting expelled from your campus? But on the other hand, is how do they know about these things? How do you who goes into dating apps? And this was brought to our, who brought it to your attention? How did you get this information? Who's doing this stuff to even pull this information out? What it points to is massive surveillance of the people here in Britain, America too, of course. But in the UK, they're able to really exercise their power through their mass surveillance. That's the only thing it can be, guys. You think the university's got people going reading through the finding dating apps of all these people? Of course not. It's mass surveillance. 808 from Hawaii, free and awake. How are you?
Diversified incompetence. Greetings, Fetch.
I'll tell you, I think I got a line on this diversified incompetence thing. I mean, the more diversified we become, have you noticed our products become far less quality of engineered? I mean, the engineering quality
has gone down. Right, there's definitely a correlation.
Yeah, look at Boeing.
And that's the only way to describe the actions of PG&E, you know?
Yeah, one of them is obviously it's incompetence. Two, it's maybe they're trying to see what the people of California do. But I think it's just incompetence and lack of engineering talent. They're too diversified. And, of course, investor greed because it is private owned.
Lack of capacity, intellectual capacity.
Well,
right?
that's diversity. That's correct. Diversity simply says you're not going to have the ability to engineer things properly. You're not going to be building things properly because, you know, you get an inferior type of person. They're not thinking quality. They're thinking, oh, I can buy this for $15 instead of paying $32. And the $15 one, of course, will, you know, a little bit of friction, it overheats, it breaks, it snaps, and all of a sudden you got a fire where the $32 piece had insulators and things like that to keep things from overheating.
Right. And forethought.
Yeah, and the diversity student, he doesn't understand this crap. This is way beyond his intelligence. All he can think about is, hey, what's for happy hour? My gay black friend down the aisle, he wants to go out today. You know,
political correctness is paramount. That's the only thing they really focus on. Put their attention on. But can I offer an analogy, right, of what you just described?
Okay.
You know, to qualitative diversified products versus single point manufacturer, for lack of a better description.
All right.
Let's look at Apple. Apple builds their own computers from the ground up. They don't have this diversification of other manufacturers interfering in their product production. But if you look at the Windows platform, right, that's it's open to other manufacturers. So it's subject to its own degree of incompetence and failures, where Mac will just keep on humming for years. You see where I'm going with that?
Well, yeah, but, you know, I understand the two processes here. By opening the source, you also open up the ability of others to innovate on your platform. And that doesn't mean the innovation's always good, but you're going to get some really good innovation.
Right. You have to have quality control. And
yeah.
You have to be willing.
But you know what? I mean, I know the Mac is a good product. It really is a good product. Very stable, very strong, very sturdy type of thing. Handles video exceptionally well, does a lot of things, but at the price points where a lot of people can't afford to get in. You know, I can
right,
do things.
Exactly.
Although I'll tell you what. Yeah, to get good audio and video for PCs, not cheap either. I'm talking about stable. You know what? I've got a computer here. Seriously, dude. I'm running right now, okay, for 3 hours. I got an i7 5500, which is not a new one. And we've been running at 70%. Right now I'm running at 63% CPU. It's like, come on, man, this thing is just burning up the power right now. But
yeah,
it works, you know, it does work and it's interoperable. So I hear what you're saying, but I'm not
sure. It seems pretty efficient. It's giving you maximum output, giving you everything you want, but doing it at a 62% memory level?
CPU level.
Is that what you're saying?
CPU
level. Right. Well, central processing unit.
Memory's different.
It's very efficient.
My memory's at 46% right now, a disk space of 5%. I'm only using 1% of the network. So everything right now is very stable, you know, between 58 to 65%. Mm-hmm. See, these are parts of what we do. We actually monitor this. Like last week, if you heard Thursday's show,
Yes,
we actually had a problem.
I was at work and I managed to hear it.
You know, I couldn't reconnect. And the issue was my disk was at 100%, so I couldn't open anything. Nothing was.
Well, you blanked out for a bit, Fetch. I think the studio is still here, though.
Well, I don't know if I blanked out, but you blanked off.
Well, one of us did.
we're talking about the quality here. It's like, you know, what the heck?
Yeah.
Anyways, what's on your mind real quick? Want to keep things moving?
That's it. I'm going to let you keep the show moving, and good talking to you.
Equally, so,
maybe you can give us some touch on some Halloween aspects, some esoteric aspects of Halloween.
Fetch. Next week.
Okay, that's my request.
Next week. So maybe that'll be Thursday. All right, see you, man.
Well, it's Halloween's coming up. That's why.
I didn't even think about it. I'm in the Middle East. You know what? I'm actually in the Middle East, guys. I actually haven't seen a Halloween thing here. Seriously, you don't see Halloween in the Middle East. So I'm like, I forgot all about it. This year would be kind of fun to go. There was a story though coming out of New Hampshire. The only Halloween thing I have, and I'll do this quick because we're running out of time. New Hampshire school, I don't know where it was, but it was an elementary school. They're canceling Halloween now to be more inclusive. Isn't that great? Everybody suffers under the dictatorship of inclusiveness. It's the Fetch. Final half hour coming up. Thanks for listening, everybody. Back with more right after this. Okay, everybody. Final half hour. Welcome back, man. Got through the show pretty good. Just want to say quickly to those in the studio, those of you guys who are still listening, if you're listening, good job, man. Everything is working great. Everything's working fine. We had just one small drop, I heard. But we just want to thank the efforts. It's kind of like a team effort now that Nighthawk is not here to manage. But good job. Everything seems to be working fine. And I'm not having any technical issues on my side. And that's a huge plus, believe me, because we try to keep things moving. And so thank you so much for your efforts. Good job, guys. So to those of you who are listening, would like to support the network, hey, they kind of earned it, man. They haven't raised a whole lot of money this month so far. We're like way short. But nonetheless, if anybody can give some money quickly to help get the network up a little bit, that would be great, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to take some funds to keep this thing going. So do what you can, as they always say, do what you can. Telephone number is 1-323, actually telephone number 1-323-275-1314. That's 1-323-275-1314. Couple quick items. You know, first, before the break, you know, not the break, last half hour, Frank was saying, you know, I missed what you were saying through the break. Honestly, I don't even remember myself, but I think it was having to deal with Jewish violence, you know, and the way that Jews go about violating everybody through this process of imposing their agenda onto everybody. And at some point, it would make rational sense to essentially utilize violence in kind to remove Jews from their positions of power. That means that if Jews say things that you don't like, or say things in the public eye that we don't like, the idea that Jews feel they must apologize, they must back down, they must lose their jobs, they must not have any ability to make income, they must, in other words, at what point does this idea of, and again, it's a really bad, stupid move to me on the Jewishite part, because they are justifying now total, absolute, seriously, I'm not even joking here. They are justifying total discrimination against anything Jewish by the people, because Jews have showed us that this is what they believe in. Jews believe in absolute totalitarian style discrimination. And consequently, they've opened the door now to discrimination against them, and nobody should even bat an eye, because this is what they opened the door. They've opened a huge Pandora's box here in America. They were never content to just making good money, living a good life. No, they want some type of totalitarian mentality over you that lets them feel so important, because they can go destroy whatever it is that you do, and they're supposed to not suffer any backlash in the process. But in my understanding of history, this type of totalitarianism, it ends up two ways. Either A, the leaders of the totalitarian system begin to execute the opposition. Then what is left is essentially a society without any innovation, without any ability to rise or lift itself up, because the intelligentsia has been removed. And perhaps then you can go to a country like Cuba and see how Cuba is. Cuba is pretty well not developed over the last 50 years. You can still see the same 1950s cars if you go to Havana. So nothing about a Jewish culture is going to be uplifting. Nothing. Look at the drabness of the Soviet Union. Look at the drabness of East Germany. There's nothing about Jewish society that is going to lift others up. And they are fully engaged right now in a war against our Western intelligentsia and all the different variations and forms that that might take. Heck, they took down Red Ice Radio. And now Red Ice TV, Red Ice TV had a huge following. They were pretty vanilla guys. They would kind of like skirt on the sides about what we talk about here, but they weren't, it's not like they were saying anything outlandish. It's not like they were saying anything that wasn't news analysis. Why is it that Jews feel they needed to be silenced? This is something that the SPLC, now is showing to be an anti-American problem for the American way of life. And they're a problem, a huge problem. And Jews know they're a huge problem. But, you know, something they did, like, before I get into that, like, if you take away the ability for people to speak out, to address policy concerns, and that's mainly what this is about, guys. This isn't about anything other than policy concerns. We want secure borders. We want a banking system that is responsible to the growth of the nation and not to the 1%. We want politicians who are not 100% beholden to a foreign power as we have between the United States and Israel. I'll tell you an interesting thing here. To show you the link between Israel and the United States is one country. I was going through Milan Airport, and as you were heading to the security line, there was a big sign, American and Israelis this way, everybody else that way. So it's clear that the Milan authorities, working through whatever State Department or Department of Commerce or FAA or whatever it is, they regard America and Israel as the same. I was shocked. I took a picture of it. America and Israel, this way. Something to that effect. So the link here is that the Jewish community in America has managed to destroy the sovereign nation of the United States. It's a joke. Its military behaves like a monster. Look what it did to Fallujah, for instance. Look what it did to the Germans in World War II, what it did to the Vietnamese, what it did to the Koreans. This is not an honorable institution, and the reason it's not honorable is because it doesn't work for the American people. It works for global Jewish interests and the banking interests. And in its pursuit of this agenda on behalf of Jewish global interests, it's been a completely ruthless war machine. And every week you're asked to praise this thing. Let's honor our men and women in uniform. When please rise for the whatever. Think about it. And the sad part is that the military pulls from a lot of our families, because the system is designed where if you are a poor person, whether you're whatever color, quite frankly, one of your options is going into the military. And then it's like, well, you volunteered for it. You shouldn't be complaining. I remember my mother saying that way back in the 1970s. Well, if you're in the military, you shouldn't complain. You volunteered. The point here is that, look, if we cannot talk about policy issues, if we can't talk about issues that affect us as far as the everything from the internet to food to the medical industry, then the only choice you have is violence. And Jews are already using violence against everybody. It's just, how does the violence manifest? I don't know about you, but if I say something and the next thing I find out is I don't have a job, I lose my business, I have to fire my employees because I can't afford to support them anymore. I have all kinds of things being said about me in media that's simply untrue, and I have no way to defend myself. I'm not sure how you can tell me that's not violating me and hence violence against me. And when I saw something the other day where Major League Baseball umpire Rob Drake said he's calling for a civil war if President Trump is impeached, Well, you know what? The Civil War is already here. We are at war. Jews are warring against the American people. It's plain as day. Every time they tell us we can't speak, that's an act of violence against our rights. It's warfare. Frank, you're back. Hi, welcome back.
Hey, Dennis, I'm sorry. That's synchronicity. That's okay. That's the story. What you just said about the umpire. I was trying to hear that over the break, a while back. And that's the one that I wanted you to recover. So it was whatever you call it, the baseball league umpire that said that. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know, he's basically, you know, he's saying, look, I'm going to, you know, Civil War is coming. I'll buy an AR-15 to protect Donald Trump. He should have that right to say that. Why is he having to apologize?
So he's having to apologize. He's not been fired yet.
To my knowledge, he hasn't been fired yet. Yet. Maybe because they.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but yet no.
One last thing, and I'll hang up. I was listening to William Gein. Now, he's the head of ALIPAC, Americans for Legal Immigration. He was on, I think, Wednesday night, first hour on Jeff Brent's show. And he said that a new poll showed that an overwhelming majority, I forget the number, but it was an overwhelming majority of Americans think that America is on the verge of a civil war. So
yeah, I heard 76%. No, I saw that 76% of the Americans that were polled anyways believe that a civil war is, if not imminent, it is unfortunately going to come to the States.
Okay, Dennis, thank you.
Great All show. Right.
Thanks.
Can you imagine this? You're an umpire, right? You should have a brain. You should have an ability to think on the fly. And this guy tweets out and sends a personal apology. I want to personally apologize. This is his words now, Mr. Drake, the umpire. I want to personally apologize to everyone that my words made feel less safe. Well, what are you apologizing for? You can't control their feelings. What are you apologizing for, dude? Relax. It's not your business. If they have a problem, that's their problem. It's not your problem. But he goes on to say, I especially want to apologize to every person who has been affected by gun violence in our country. Well, why is that relevant? You weren't saying you're going to go attack anybody. You said you're going to defend somebody. How is defending somebody an issue relative to somebody who's been affected by gun violence? If those idiots who were affected at this stage don't get the fact that they being defenseless isn't necessarily the best option out there, then that's their problem. Again, you're twisting reality here, dude. You're not making any sense. Look, if you've been affected by gun violence, you don't want to rein in guns. You want to create better defense mechanisms so you don't get violated again. That's just common sense. You don't want to sit there and make everybody defenseless because the enemies who have guns are going to use them regardless. And that's just common sense. You'd have to be an idiot to see otherwise. And unfortunately, we have a country filled with idiots, including this umpire. He goes on to say, I also acknowledge and apologize for the controversy this has brought to Major League Baseball. Well, why is it a controversy to begin with? There's no controversy here. It's just common sense. How is common sense a controversy? So who manufactured the controversy? Then you start to go in, you dig in, and guess what? You smell rot. And when you smell rot, what's at the root of the rot? Something Jewish. That's the bad part about this. It's always Jewish. He says, also, my fellow umpires and my family, I never intended to diminish the threat of violence from assault weapons or violence of any kind. Well, as soon as you said a violence of any kind, you've just disqualified yourself. Because what you're saying is that Jews can go ahead and do what? Fire everybody from their jobs? But that's not supposed to be recognized as violence? Because that's violence. So are you opposed to Jews? And they're now what they're doing to you is a form of violence. You spoke your mind. You're free to speak your mind in the country called the United States. And they are violating your freedom of speech here. So here you're apologizing, yet you're not recognizing that you're under assault yourself and hence under some type of intellectually violent attack. And that's what's the issue here. Jews want to be so coy and clever. Oh, you can't have violence of any kind. No, the fact that you're attacking people as anti-Semites is a form of violence. Okay? You can't have it like your violence against us is not violence, but if we defend ourselves, all of a sudden it becomes violence. That's just stupid. That's like you're attacking, you know, cases, and we have them out there. Even in the UK, there was a constabulary or something like that. Is that the right word? Constabulary? Constable? I think constable. And he had a gang of immigrants come into his house to attack him, kind of like a la down in South Africa. He went, he defended himself, and he ended up shooting a couple people because he had a gun in his house. And guess what? He's being charged with criminal assault. People are in his house, like in South Africa, and he protects his house, and he's under charges? Really? Well, that's the same thing what's happening here. We are allowing the aggressor, the attacker, to claim some moral authority whenever an actual defense is being made against them. That's how twisted our legal system is. That's how twisted our society has become, and that's especially how twisted the judicial system has become. Under these conditions, guys, if the violence ramps up, how long are people expected to not defend themselves in America? This is not the Soviet Union. We are not the Russian people. We are not South Africans. Do the ruling elites of the Jewish people expect the American people to back down and unilaterally allow for a surrender of their nation? They believe that's true. For sure they believe that's true. But when you think about it, you have to ask yourself, really, you know, are you like, I don't have the story in front of me now. I lost it. Let's see if I still have it. Hold on a second, guys. I think I lost it. I did lose it. That was bad. I had a great, I would have been a great segue, guys. But I lost it. Here's something that, you know, the American Jewish Congress, it's one of the most powerful congresses out there in the United States. Ranks right up there with AIPAC in a way. It's the American Jewish Committee. And here's what I think is really loathsome, underhanded, classless, dishonest about Jewish framing. Breaking, it says, AJC, American Jewish Committee, releases landmark survey of American Jews on anti-Semitism in America, revealing deep concern about Jew hatred. Can you imagine? They use the term Jew hatred on you. Isn't that disgusting? Don't you feel insulted? What garbage these people are to use this term? You have issues with their policies. You have issues with the way they govern over our people. You have issues with the way they are forcing transgenderism on everybody. You have perhaps issues with the Jewish control of the opioid traffic. You have concerns about our overwhelming support for the state of Israel, even to the expense of the United States herself. Yet all Jews want to talk about is Jew hatred because you disagree with all these policies. This is unethical. This is in-your-face arrogance and chutzpah by the Jewish organizations out there because they all use the same technique. And every time I see that, I say, you underhanded, sleazebag scum. Because you're trying to weaponize the discussion of the political process. Consequently, we have to believe that Jews are not interested in discussion. They are interested only in imposing themselves upon the majority of the American people. How dare they use this word? I don't really care whether you're Jewish per se on a personal level. I don't care. But I do absolutely care that your policies are making problems for the American people. I absolutely do care that in spite of all of this, quote unquote, the best jobs in America we've ever seen, that 1% of the population controls 78 or 80% of the wealth of America. And then when I bore down deep into that, I find out that 65% of the wealth of the 1% is Jewish. So therefore, Jews basically are the 1%. So who are the enemies of the American people? Is it the 1% or is it Jewish elites? Now, can Jewish elites survive without all of these nonprofits that they fund at your expense, because it's tax deductible, to further enslave you, to create the laws, to create the media, to create the attacks against you? So it becomes literally a large social Jewish effort against the American people and really against the West. Imagine 88% of Jews surveyed think that you're a problem. 88% of Jewish people polled think that you're a problem because you don't agree with Jewish policy. If you don't agree with Jewish policy, you're a problem. I don't know how they get away with such chutzpah, but they do. And it should be painful for them to do this. That's the point. They put this stuff out there. First of all, what are you using the term Jew hatred for? Screw you. I will define for me, not for you. You don't have a right to project that garbage onto us, because that's what they're doing. They're taking their low-life, disgusting attitude towards us, and they're projecting their hatred, quite frankly, of everybody in humanity onto us. Hey, why are you using this term? Seriously, why are you using this term, you scumbag? What's your problem? You got a problem with us? Is that what you're saying? Because it's an in-your-face assault on your integrity. They're saying you're not even capable of intellectual debate. You're not capable of rationally going through the discussion points within political processes. They're just, oh, Jew hatred. I'm a Jew. It's stupid, guys. See what I'm saying? You're dealing with an intellectually bankrupt culture that just insults and affronts you every step of the way, and nobody says a word. I'm serious. If I was there in a meeting with this, I'd say, excuse me? What type of garbage is this? Why did you use this term? Do you hate me? Why would you use that? Let's talk issues. Because they don't want to talk issues. They want to silence you. Oh, you're just, you hate to, you're not this. Again, this is violence. Because they're basically treating you like you're a 2-year-old and you're not even supposed to speak. How are you going to resolve issues? You can't. So what's the next step? Shooting wars, purges, pogroms. Are you going to do that? I can imagine. Guys, I can imagine America. I can imagine, because Jews, what they did is they created something called the EBT cards. Okay? And they put a ton of black people and other underprivileged people. Basically, what they could never educate anyways, they gave them all free money, free housing. Can you imagine if white civilization, whites in America, treated ourselves the way that we've treated the minorities in our country? Can you imagine if we guaranteed housing and income for every childbearing family out there? They said, look, if you have children, we're going to give you free housing, Section 8 housing. And if you go to school and you, or if you raise up 4 kids, we're going to give you so much money per month, because that's basically what they're doing in America now. It's not like we don't have a family planning system as far as supporting families. We do. We just don't support productive families. We're supporting African-American women to go out and have 5, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids. They do the same in the UK. So they have a family support system, yet they want to call racist places like Hungary that says, look, if you have 4 children, you're not going to pay any taxes for life. Doesn't that make a lot more sense than importing all of this garbage from South America or Latin America or Mexico? I'm sure most of you heard this story. El Chapo's son gets taken by the police, and the gang lords are so strong down there, they were able to take on the military, and they defeated them in battle on the streets right there in Mexico. Literally, open-air battle between the drug lords and the police and the federal authorities, and the drug lords won. They took the city. They forced the government to give back El Chapo's son. And then you wonder why Americans want to build the wall and just kind of like secure their borders. Yeah, it makes sense. So ask yourself, why are Jews always stopping us? Always getting in the way to our own self-preservation? Do they have a death wish themselves? See, these are some of the political, political points that are beginning to appear on the horizon. Do Jews have a death wish? Because they certainly have a death wish for everybody else. Why is it that Jews want to take away guns? Are they trying to kill you? Is that the issue, like they did in the Soviet Union? Why is it they want to create laws to criminalize the truth? Who else runs Hollywood? Do the Italians run Hollywood? Of course not. Hollywood's literally a Jewish mafia. So why would you criminalize our understanding of this? Is it because Hollywood is such an enemy of the American people? Someone's saying, don't forget the short Halloween story I began. Did I start a Halloween story? Oh, I just talked about the New Hampshire thing. I thought I was finished with that story. You know, basically canceling Halloween because you got to be more inclusive. That was the story, man. People are actually doing that in America, canceling celebrations just to become more inclusive. The point here this week, everybody, is very simple. Diversity makes everybody weaker. Diversity is a guaranteed road down to mediocrity. And those who peddle diversity and multiculturalism are leading the country into absolute decay and moral depravity. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Thanks for listening, everybody. Show is actually over. We will see everybody next Thursday for Inside the Eye Live primetime at 6 o'clock right here on Revolution Radio Studio A. See you guys. Good night.